This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حب الأنصار من الإيمان. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that to love the Ansar is from Iman. And in another hadith he stated that whoever loves the Ansar is a believer, and whoever hates the Ansar is a munafiq, a hypocrite. Today I want us to take some time to reflect on the story of and the status of the Ansar, because this is, in my opinion, the more undervalued part of the Sahaba. When we talk about the Sahaba and the lives of the Sahaba, most of us are familiar with the lives of the Muhajirun, the immigrants. We are familiar with the story of Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We are familiar with the story of the Ashra Mubashara and the Ummahatul Mu'mineen. But many of us may not be as familiar with the stories of the people of Medina. We know that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam preached Islam in Makkah for 13 years. And towards the end of those 13 years, things got so difficult that he had to seek a way out. He had to look for somewhere else to live. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors for him to move to Yathrib, which would become Medina. And so when he and his companions moved to Yathrib, the people of Yathrib, the believers of Yathrib, who welcomed them in, who took them into their families, who treated them as their own family, the people became known as the Ansar, the helpers. And those who had moved from Makkah to Medina, they became known as the Muhajirun, the immigrants. And so from that point, the Sahaba are of two categories. We have the Muhajirun and the Ansar. We have those who immigrated from Makkah and those who were born in Medina. But what I want us to get at today is to understand who the Ansar were in terms of the importance in our religion. Who the Ansar were, what is their story, what is their legacy, and why we should take time to learn their biographies, to understand who they are, and to love them. The hadith we quoted in the beginning said that the love of the Ansar is part of Iman. But if you don't know somebody, you can't really love them, you can't really appreciate them if you don't know their story. And that's a problem that many of us have, that we know of the Ansar as this terminology, but we don't know of the Ansar in terms of what they went through, what they sacrificed, what they did, what they accomplished, and even what their names were. So let's go to the story of the Ansar a bit, so we can appreciate who these people were and what role they played in the history of Islam. Medina, as we know it today, back then it was called Yathrib, right? It was a small town of palm trees. And in Yathrib, there were two Arab tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj. These two Arab tribes, the Aus and the Khazraj, were constantly at war with each other. So this town was constantly in a state of civil war, with these two tribes always at each other's throats. Living around the town were Jews. There were three Jewish tribes living around the town in their own fortresses. And these Jews controlled the marketplace. They were the businessmen of the area. The Arabs were farmers and the Jews were businessmen. And together that's how the economy ran. And what would happen was these Jewish tribes actually moved there because their Torah had predicted, they had learned from their Torah and predicted from their Torah that the last prophet will arise in that city. And that is where the last prophet would be. So they moved to Yathrib and they formed the communities in Yathrib, hoping that the last prophet will rise from amongst them in Yathrib. And they used to tell the Arabs that when the last prophet comes, we are getting rid of all of you and this is going to be our land. So this is the city and the climate in which the Ansar come about. Now what happens? Around the same year that we call the year of sorrow, right? The year when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam lost his beloved wife Khadija radiallahu anha, lost his uncle Abu Talib, was chased out of Taif. Around that same time, while all of that's going on in Makkah, in Yathrib, a civil war breaks out between the Aus and the Khazraj. And this civil war was known as the War of Bu'af. That's because that's the place where it took place. And this war was absolutely bloody. It was a massacre. All of the leaders on both sides were killed. So in one battle, both the Aus and the Khazraj lost almost all of their elders. The entire generation of this tribe was wiped out. And in light of that, in light of an entire generation of elders and leaders being wiped out, their children now have to take over running the tribes. So now suddenly, the Arabs of Yathrib are these small tribes, and their leaders are orphaned teenagers. Really, the leaders of Yathrib at this time are people who are between the ages of 15 and 25. Very, very young men with no experience yet in life. But they all have one thing in common. They are tired of fighting each other. They are tired of the wars. They saw the wars destroy their family. They saw the wars tear apart their community. They saw their own parents killed. And they are tired of the war. So these leaders, one of the first things they decide to do, because they're tired of fighting, they're tired of that environment, they just want to get out, they say, let's go for Hajj. Let's go for Hajj. And so about 12 of the leaders of the different tribes of the Aus and the Khazraj, because remember, Aus and Khazraj are the mega tribes, and each of these tribes are split into smaller tribes. So 12 of these leaders, all young men, they leave Yathrib and they go to Makkah for Hajj. Around that time, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's by the Hajj doing da'wah to every delegation that comes. And he speaks specifically to those delegations that are powerful, where they have elderly tribal leaders who are known for their power and for their might and for the influence over society. And these are the people he's doing da'wah to, hoping that they would convert and invite him to their city and protect him. This is the same reason why he went to Taif. And then he sees this group of young men, and they want to hear his message. And he's, at this time, it's just him and Abu Bakr and Ali walking around doing da'wah. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has this special skill, right? He has this special knowledge and skill set, something that's a lost art in our times, which is the knowledge of lineage. He can tell, like, you know, you get the old uncles who tell you, oh, you relate to this guy, this person, your cousin, and that person's your auntie. They know everyone how they related to each other. Abu Bakr was gifted at this. If he met anyone, he knew that person's family. He would tell you, okay, you related to this person in this way and in that way. And this is a skill, and this is an art form, and it's a very important skill, one that's dying out these days. But it's a very important skill. So what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was doing was, every tribe he went to do da'wah to, he would ask Abu Bakr to tell him how they are related and how they are connected, and to tell him about their lineage and their tribal influence. So when this group of young men come from Yathrib, Abu Bakr tells him, these are your relatives from Yathrib, right? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather and mother were from that region. That these are your relatives of Yathrib, and they are orphans and they are young, and they don't have power. They don't have money, but they want to hear us out. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam sits with these young men, very young men, and he gives them the da'wah, and he recites to them Quran, and he explains to them Islam, and all of them take their shahada, all of them convert to Islam on the spot. Because they recognize that these Jewish tribes, they're telling us a prophet is going to come. Here's the prophet. Let's embrace him first. And they recognize in him all the signs of truthfulness. And this is an honest prophet. This is the true prophet of Allah. So they not only convert to Islam, but they become staunch followers of Islam. They become the staunchest supporters of Islam. And so these young men, they tell the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, send someone back with us who can teach our people the religion. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam chooses a young man for Makkah by the name of Mus'ab ibn Umair. And he sends him with this delegation to Yathrib to teach the people Islam. So Mus'ab ibn Umair becomes the first da'i, the first person given the job to go to another city to do da'wah. And he goes to Yathrib, and he sits with each of the tribal leaders, and he does da'wah to them. And one by one, the leaders of Yathrib convert to Islam. And what happens? A ripple effect. He does da'wah to one leader, that leader goes to his people and say, I'm a Muslim now, you all better become Muslim. And many of them become Muslims. Same thing happens to the next tribe. Same thing happens to the next tribe. 1 year later, a delegation of over 70 people from Medina come for Hajj. All of them Muslims. And they go to meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in secret. And they make a pledge to him. And they make a pledge that you and your followers can come and live in Medina. And we will protect you, we will provide for you, we will die for you. They made a pledge to defend these people with their lives. Keep in mind that they didn't even know them on a personal level, right? They didn't know them on a personal level. These are two different cities with two different, political situations. And these are young men. These are people who don't have much influence. Right? These are people who don't have much money and power compared to what the people of Makkah had. But they had iman. They had true iman. They truly believed in the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were willing to die for him. So they took a pledge of allegiance. And so the hijrah began. The hijrah began. And group by group, the people of Makkah, the Muslims of Makkah, start moving to Yathrib. Until eventually Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself moves from Makkah to Yathrib. And then they change the name of Yathrib to Madinatul Munawwara or Madinatul Nabi, the city of the Prophet. Now, what we fail to understand about the story is how much the people of Medina sacrificed for the people of Makkah. How much this community sacrificed for the immigrants who were coming to their land. And I believe this is a very relevant topic for our times, because we live in a time of xenophobia, where every country, people are scared of immigrants. Every country, people don't want immigrants in their community, right? And we see this even amongst Muslims, that nobody wants immigrants. Everybody feels immigrants are stealing their jobs and taking their money and, you know, opening up businesses and marrying their people. And they look at immigrants in a very negative sense. But with the Ansar, you see the complete opposite. Not only do they welcome the immigrants into their community, they welcome them into their homes. They offer them half of their wealth. They are willing to die for them. They sit and make dua for them at night. It is mentioned that the Ansar would make dua in the tahajjud for the muhajirin. They would make dua for their brothers who had moved there from Makkah. They formed such a strong brotherhood between the people of Makkah and the people of Medina, between the muhajirun and Ansar, that they literally became like brothers. They literally became like brothers to such an extent that they thought they might have to inherit from each other, because they came this close in their love for each other and in their care for each other. And so this is like one of the purest examples in history of a community inviting in immigrants and taking care of the immigrants and doing it in such a way that they sacrificed everything for them. And we don't even realize this, but they sacrificed their own political power for the muhajirun. What do we mean by this? These young men were supposed to be the leaders of that city. But when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moves to Medina, they choose him to be their leader. And after him, Abu Bakr. And after him, Umar. And after him, Usman. The Ansar never attained leadership. They never attained leadership to that level. They sacrifice and give up the very concept of leadership so they can be with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so they can support Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that they can be from his closest companions. And on that day when they made that pledge, they stood there in that mountain in secret with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his uncle Abbas. And they told Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they said, "We are taking you and your people in, and we are going to protect you, we're going to fight for you. What do we get in exchange? We're going to do all of these sacrifices. What do we get in exchange?" Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not tell them, "You're going to get power, you're going to get money, you know, your city is going to become one of the greatest cities in human history, people are going to visit it for thousands of years after you." No. He only gave them one promise in return. If you live up to this promise, if you do what you say you're going to do, then your promise is Jannah. You're going to get Jannah. And all of them said, "This is the best deal. This is the best deal. That we will sacrifice everything of this world for Jannah." And we see time and time again the Ansar honoring this pledge to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not only did they invite the immigrants into Medina, and they house them in their own houses as guests, and offer them half of their wealth, and take care of them and help them to grow into society and to establish themselves into society, and they intermarry amongst each other. Even though these are different tribes, you could easily have said, "You know, you're not for our tribe, you can't marry our daughters." They intermarried with each other and they became one community. But we see them sacrificing for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over and over again. And so we come to the first battle, the Battle of Badr. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting with his companions deciding, "Do we fight or do we not fight?" And the muhajirin, the people of Makkah, are all standing up one by one and saying, "Let's go fight, let's go fight." The Prophet is still sitting quietly. He's waiting for the Ansar to speak. And then the leader of the Ansar stands up and said, "We took a pledge with you in that mountain that we're going to fight for you. Today we're going to honor that pledge." And they went and they fought and they died. Many of the Ansar died. They died in Badr, they died in Uhud, they died in Ahzab. And they died as shuhada, they died of martyrs for the sake of Allah. So this was a community that sacrificed everything for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we owe it to them to at least learn their biographies, learn their names, learn their stories, make dua for them, love them, and try and emulate their lifestyles. Try to be like them. And this is why over the next few weeks, for every khutbah, we're going to take the life of one of the Ansar and discuss it in details. We're going to go into the lives of those Sahaba who were born in Medina and who are known to be amongst the leaders of the Ansar, and go through their biographies in detail so we can understand who these amazing people were and what was their role in our history, so our love of them can increase. We started the khutbah with the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that love of the Ansar is from Iman. Love of the Ansar is from Iman. And in another hadith he said that whoever loves the Ansar, then they are believers, and whoever hates the Ansar, they are hypocrites. Now there is a story behind this. Remember we said that the Ansar sacrificed political leadership so that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could live amongst them. There was one man in Makkah, in Medina, who was supposed to become the next political leader of Medina. His name was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul. And he had this in mind that now that all the elders are dead, I'm next in line. I'm going to rule the city. And then suddenly everybody else converts to Islam. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam moves to Medina. They appoint him as the leader. So what does this Abdullah ibn Ubay do? He pretends to be a Muslim. He pretends to be a Muslim so he can try and destroy Islam from the inside. And he holds deep resentment towards his fellow Medinites, towards the Ansar. He has a deep resentment towards the Ansar because he feels they took power away from him and gave it to a foreigner. And he and his followers hold a deep hatred for the Ansar because they feel that their power was taken away and given to a foreign man. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was referring to them specifically when he said that whoever hates the Ansar is a munafiq, is a hypocrite. He was referring specifically to Abdullah ibn Ubay and his followers. But nonetheless, the Aqidah point, it applies to everyone until the end of time. You cannot love this religion without loving the Ansar. And you cannot love Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam without loving his Ansar. Because he loved the Ansar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved him, and we love what he loves. Because these are the people, if it wasn't for their sacrifice, if it wasn't for them welcoming immigrants into their city, if it wasn't for them sacrificing all of their lives and their wealth and everything for the sake of Allah, we would not have had the city of Medina. Yathrib would have stayed Yathrib. And a different door may have opened for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a different city. But Allah chose this group of people to be those heroes who established this role. And so we should learn their names. We should learn their biographies. We should name our children after them. And we should love the Ansar. Because love of the Ansar is from Iman. We ask Allah to guide us and to protect us, to make us from those who love the Ansar and the Muhajirun and the Sahaba and who follow this religion properly. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعد أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. When Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم conquered Makkah, the Ansar began to worry. Why did they begin to worry? Because with Makkah now being Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was free to go home. He was free to go back to the city he became from, the city he grew up in, his hometown. And we all know, if someone is exiled from their hometown, and the chance opens up to go back, you're going back, right? Everyone loves their hometown. So the Ansar begin to worry. They see the people of Makkah converting to Islam, the same people who used to be the enemies of Islam. They see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam giving the people of Makkah a lot of wealth, right, to win them over to Islam. And they begin to worry. And they begin to talk amongst themselves. And they begin to be scared that they're not going to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam again. So he calls a private meeting with the Ansar. And he tells them that, you know, I've done this for you and I've done that for you. You know, that I brought Islam to you and given you victory and all of this. So what do you have to say? And they kept quiet. And he says, y'all could have said the same thing to me, that y'all invited me into your home, y'all gave me shelter, y'all gave me a place to stay when I was in exile. But the Ansar had so much respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they didn't mention their favors. They sat quietly. And then he said that I have one last thing to give you. I'm coming home with you. I'm coming home with you. The Medina is my home. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though Makkah was not open for him, even though he could go back to Makkah, the land he was born in, he spent the rest of his life in Medina. He passed away in Medina. He is buried in Medina. It is called Medina to Nabi, the city of the Prophet, because of his love of the Ansar. Because of his love of the Ansar. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved the Ansar so much that he said, if I was not a Muhajir, I would have wanted to be an Ansar. And he was a Muhajir by default. He's moving from Makkah to Medina. But he knew that the reward of the Ansar for their sacrifice was so great, he wanted to be one of them. He wanted to be amongst the Ansar. Final lesson for all of us. Every single Muslim, at some point in their life, has a chance to be an Ansar. What do I mean by this? There are many people who migrate to our community hoping for a better life. They may come from India or Pakistan or from Malawi or from many other countries across North Africa and Central Africa. Many people trying to escape poverty, trying to escape tyrannical regimes. They come here looking for a better life. The question we need to ask ourselves, are we welcoming them into our community? Are we an Ansar to them? Or are we cutting them off? Are we treating them like we are better than them? Are we ignoring them and focusing only on ourselves? Are we Ansar to the immigrants to our community? Because this may not be an Islamic land, but Allah has blessed us with a strong Muslim community. Allah has blessed us with resources. He has blessed us with freedom of religion. He has blessed us with influence. Are we using it to help the immigrants? Are we reaching out to the immigrants? When you hear of a family coming from India or Pakistan or Malawi or anywhere else, from Egypt, Turkey, from anywhere, they're coming and they're settling in Durban. Are any of us reaching out to them? Are any of us making friends with them? Are any of us seeing if we can help them? Let us be Ansar to the immigrants. Let us not stereotype them. Let us not be racist towards them. Let us not be xenophobic towards them. These are our brothers and sisters in Islam. And many of them are fleeing from very terrible situations to seek a better life where we are. And the least we can do for them is to honor the legacy of the Ansar by being Ansar ourselves. And I want to end with this word Ansar. Where does it come from? Where does this word Ansar come from? When you open Sahih al-Bukhari, the chapter of the virtues of the Ansar, the very first hadith in that chapter, a man comes to Anas ibn Malik and says, did you call yourselves Ansar or did Allah call you Ansar? Look at this question. Did you call yourselves Ansar or did Allah call you Ansar? And Anas ibn Malik, who was one of the Ansar we will discuss in the coming weeks, he said, Allah called us the Ansar. Allah called us the Ansar. When you open the Quran, there are many verses where Allah said, Al-Muhajiruna wal-Ansar. He calls him the Ansar. And the word Ansar is used in the Quran for two groups of people. The first is the Ansar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the second is the Ansar of Jesus, peace be upon him. Where we have the verse in the Quran, where when Jesus, peace be upon him, is being attacked by the Romans and they want to kill him, and he says, Man Ansari ilallah. Who's going to be my Ansar and help me for the sake of Allah? وَقَالُ حَوَارِيُّونَ نَحْنُ أَنْصَارُ اللَّهِ. His disciples said, we are the Ansar of Allah. So this term Ansar, those who help the people in need, was mentioned in the Quran for two very important and powerful groups of people. Two people who sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah. The disciples of Jesus, peace be upon him, and the Ansar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my final message to each and every one of us, let us live lives of Ansar. Let us live lives where we care for others more than we care for ourselves. Let us live lives where we put our resources into helping the da'wah and helping the poor and helping those around us. Let us welcome immigrants and help them to settle into the community. Let us be the Ansar of any believer that we meet. That is the least we can do to honor the legacy of the great Ansar who helped Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen. والحمد لله رب العالمين أقم الصلاة